The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Drex on KGO 810.
Shumpert trying to stay with Curry. Catches. One dribble, steps back, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spates. Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions. Cleveland's long sports nightmare has ended. The drought is over. 52 years. Time to celebrate a title. And the emotions for LeBron James, who delivers on his promise to come home and bring a championship to his beloved hometown.
And then he was crying on the floor, and I think we should send him a bill for like $50,000 for warping our hardwood. You know what I'm saying? Joining me is David Fieldhouse from our sister station, KNBR. On the line with me is Jesse Gambino. Jesse, good evening, and thank you for joining me.
Hey, it's great to be here. Pleasure. First time on the West Coast all the way.
Oh, well, thank you, and you're welcome. And by the way, who are you rooting for?
I wasn't rooting for either of the two, to be honest with you.
Oh, what kind of answer is that? Jesse, what kind of answer is that?
I truthfully, my team was out of it long, long ago.
Okay.
I'm a weird sports guy, so I am a New Yorker, but I have no affiliations with any New York teams whatsoever.
Oh, my. You better keep that to yourself in the Apple. All right. Well, we want to talk to you about the Cleveland conspiracy theory. This came in front of my face today, and I said, get Jesse on the phone, because God knows I love a good conspiracy theory, and I tried it on Friday with another member of our sister station, KNBR, and he wasn't having it. And now I have David Fieldhouse, who is a Cleveland Cavalier fan. He works for KNBR. I don't know how that works out for you. But here he is parading around in his Cavalier outfit today and in uniform. So why do you think there's a conspiracy?
I personally don't think that there was really a conspiracy. I think that it was just more of the wheels had to come off sometime. I mean, it just happened at the wrong time for the Warriors. That's bottom line what happened. I mean, yes, there was some horrible officiating, but that's going to happen in every NBA game in general, every NBA playoff series. You know, it's nothing new. And besides, LeBron had to win it for Cleveland because he has to be doing Space Jam 2. And Lord knows Bugs Bunny is not going to go to Cleveland to make that happen.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this.
He has his own limits.
Right. Is he going to stick around Cleveland, or is he out of there now?
I believe he's on his way to LA. I don't know if it's going to be the Clippers. I don't know if it's going to be the Lakers. I don't even know. Listen, for all we know, he could really want to play with the Warriors. I mean, if they're talking Kevin Durant could potentially play with the Warriors, LeBron is going to value the same money. So if he really wants to play for the Warriors, he could play for the Warriors as well.
Oh, my God. They will run him out of town. They ran him out of town before and almost burnt the city down. The city will burn if he leaves.
It's different this time. How's it different this time? It's different because the last time that LeBron did it, he said a lot of things and didn't deliver on what he said. But in his fairness, he didn't have a team the last time. It was a horrible team that he had gone to all those playoff series with. Now he comes back, and mind you, in the way he did it was probably very not too thrilling for the Cleveland Cavalier fan. But now he has come back, and within the 2 years that he's been back, he's delivered on his promise that, let me tell you, a lot of the last time that a Cleveland team won anything, most of those players from that team are dead. Jim Brown is the exception.
Well, 52 years ago.
1964, the Browns. Yeah.
1964,
you know what
the
I mean?
Browns.
Like,
yeah.
He has delivered on something that no other Cleveland team can say since 1964. He will forever in Cleveland now given a pass for whatever he decides to do in life.
Well, we won the most regular season games ever, so at least we can hold that high in our hands. That belongs to us.
That's yes. Cute. And I believe, what was your first year?
That's brutal. Dave, questions.
I think he's going to stay in Cleveland. I mean, you're right in the fact that last time he didn't deliver a championship, and this time he delivered us a championship. So if he leaves now, he could say, well, at least I gave you a championship. But I was reading his letter that he wrote when he came back to Cleveland that he had in Sports Illustrated. And in the letter, basically, he said, I want to be a Cavalier for life, and I want to raise my family here. And he has his Akron Foundation there for all his kids. And so I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's staying in Cleveland for the rest of his career. That's my personal opinion on it.
I mean, it's definitely possible. I'm certainly not going to say that there's zero chance. But I believe that with all the, you know, he wants to become more of an he wants to be even more of an international brand.
And he already is, isn't he?
The one thing that he really hasn't conquered is acting. So that's pretty much, you know, he can't really do acting from Cleveland and do, you know, basketball. And that's just too much traveling on him. Whereas if he's in L.A.
We have jet planes. I mean, you know, when he was if he were playing for the Heat, he could get in a jet plane and go to Los Angeles.
That's true. And then he did the movie Trainwreck, by the way. And some of that was filmed actually in Cleveland, in Montrose, where he grew up.
Oh, there you have it. You know,
Yeah, I mean, but that wasn't as big of a budget film as what he's probably going to be anticipating. You know, like LeBron he's a very athletic, you know, figure. He's not his body structure is going to get him roles just like The Rock, you know, and not saying that they're in the same category as athlete or anything of the such, but The Rock, in his respect, was able to transfer his talents from one sport to another and excel at it. And LeBron is going to be able to do that. And the convenience of him moving to L.A. is just going to make it, you know, and he's going to be a Laker, you know, or a Clipper. If he becomes a Clipper, imagine what the storyline would be if he won a title for the Clippers and the Cavaliers.
You better sneak out of town. 415-808-0810 is the number if you want to join the conversation. What do you think about Steph Curry's wife, Aisha, texting out that the game was rigged?
I think that she's like every other wife who's trying to console her husband after a horrible loss. You know, after a very, very emotional season, you know, Gisele Brady did it when Tom lost the Super Bowl to the Giants, which I was frustrated about. But, it's the nature of the business now. Everybody's entitled to be an opinion if you have a social media account somewhere. And, you know, she's probably the commissioner of the Aisha Curry NBA League.
What about the Draymond Green suspension? Was that a fluke? I mean, kept hitting guys in the junk.
I think Draymond Green is the new Dennis Rodman of the NBA. Unfortunately, we live in an era where everybody has a camera phone
without
and everybody can snapshot something, so it just looks worse than it actually is.
Well, let's
hope
he doesn't.
I think it was a
Kim
shame
Jong-un.
That he was suspended.
Yeah.
So he doesn't wear any white dresses, wedding
horrible.
Dresses either.
Yeah, if he doesn't wear any white dresses or go visit Kim Jong-un, we'll be... That's all right.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure down the road, Draymond Green has that type of personality where he would do something like that.
Hey,
and
you know what?
Listen, there's nothing wrong with that.
Look, I want to say something about Draymond Green. He was a classy guy last night. He went out of the locker room after the game and went over and personally congratulated LeBron. So, you know.
I mean, they're partners in business, so it's just competitiveness. At this high level of competitiveness, LeBron had the weight of, in all sincerity, he had the weight of a state on his shoulders. And you know, this is the closest the Cleveland Cavaliers have ever gotten to a championship. And this is the second closest that the Cleveland fan has gotten to a championship since the 97 Indian Marlin World Series. So, you know, for them, it could have been a lifetime before this ever got to happen. And imagine the torrential hurricane that would have transpired had they have lost. Because I tell you what, we wouldn't be talking about LeBron James the king today. We'd be talking about LeBron James in the Jim Kelly category.
All right, hang on a second, Jesse Gambino. I want to take a break here, and we come back, and I want to talk to you about the old school 30 for 30 Bad Boys Club stuff, and how the whole East Coast hates the Warriors because they just do, and I know it. Yes, 808-0810 is the number, and joined with me is David Fieldhouse from KNBR. We'll continue the conversation, taking your calls 808-0810.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
When I came back, I gave everything that I had. I brought my heart, my blood, my sweat, my tears to this game, and against all odds, I don't know why we want to take the hardest role, but it's nothing a man above don't put you in situations that you can't handle. And I just kept that same positive attitude, like, instead of saying, why me? They're saying this is what he want me to do. And Cleveland, this is for you.
Yes, and we're going to follow that up with Donald Trump. Oh, have fun with that. So much for the parade. Let me see here. David Fieldhouse from KNBR is my guest, along with, well, Jesse Gambino, who is a sports expert, and I thank you for joining me, Jesse. I want to take a phone call here. Tom in Union, yes, Union City, what would you like to add?
Actually, I'd like to take just a minute to disagree with the gentleman that said that there was no conspiracy. I really watched the series intently because I watched the play of the Warriors winning 73 games. They were not allowed, or their opponents were not allowed to manhandle them. They weren't allowed to slam them to the floor. They were not allowed to hold. They played good basketball. But with the starting in the Oklahoma series, that's where this whole thing started. And it was easy to see that the refereeing and all the officiating was one-sided. There's no way that Cleveland could have beaten the Warriors, honestly, and with only those five players on the floor. They had help, and okay. That's my opinion.
Okay, so would you say especially in the sixth game with the touch fouls?
No, I'm talking about
You're talking about both series.
The whole series, starting with Oklahoma City,
okay,
where the officials allowed Oklahoma City to manhandle the Warriors.
You know what? I agree with you. The temperature changed. Thank you very much for the call. I agree with him.
But that...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I'm telling you. He's right. The temperature changed.
To me that the league wanted Oklahoma in the NBA Finals over the Warriors. And I don't think that the league would want a team that went 73-9 in the regular season to lose in its conference final. That would just be my opinion on that.
If you're the NBA, you want West Coast, East Coast. That's what you want.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so that's just the way it worked out. But nobody would have wanted it to be Warriors in L.A. Nobody would have nobody would have watched in the rest of the country because, let's face it, no one on the East Coast cares.
That's not entirely true, but we realize that Warrior fans have only been Warrior fans for maybe about 6 weeks, as opposed
Coming off the building.
I am not a Knicks fan, but I know that there are Knicks fans out here that will bleed Knicks colors, and they do it during their
You don't know what time it is out here. Look, I have to tell you, Warriors are religion.
What religion is that? Because I'm pretty sure it ain't the first one.
It's the Dub Nation. Don't be dumbass.
Let me just say this. If you were referring to the 49ers, I wouldn't argue with you. Well, I mean, I know we're getting a little off topic.
That's a little off topic. Yeah.
You got diehard 49ers fans or Raiders fans, I'm not going to argue that with you because I believe that there are real Raiders and 49ers.
The Warriors fans are great, though. Yeah, I mean, I'm a Cavaliers fan. I wanted the Cavaliers to win this series, obviously. And the Warriors fans haven't been around as long. They don't have the history. But they sold out that place even when the Warriors were bad. The Warriors fans are very good out here. I have to defend them.
I would need to give Warriors fans a test.
Let's talk about some facts here. We go, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, the 30 for 30 Bad Boys Club back in the day, learning the hard way, Jordan Bulls versus the Bad Boy Pistons, all of that. You know, they decided that they were going to get Jordan one way or the other, and they played dirty. And I've got to think that some of that, as my last caller from Tom from Union City said, yes, things got ratcheted up several notches.
It does. But again, it's the finals, and are we comparing that series in the late 80s, 90s to this series?
No, but it was a big secret for a long time that was going on, it was this thing that, we're going to kick his ass at all costs.
Well, I mean, when the Pistons were battling the Bulls at that time, Jordan was in his prime and he was a very, very elite player, but that was, he had to get over his hurdles. And now with the Cavaliers and the Warriors had zero pressure on them up until they got to the playoffs. Realistically,
I know, but it just kind of exists. And if you go back, I mean, NBA ref, what was his name? Tim Donahue got caught recently.
Yeah,
for rigging games back in the day. He was investigated by the FBI in July of 2007 for the ticky-tack fouls, all of that. So it's not like it doesn't exist.
No, of course. I mean, to say that it doesn't exist would be to say that the sky is green. But I just think at this particular scenario, I don't think that the league could afford to have it be rigged or some sort of conspiracy, especially in the way the caller called said, because again, like I said, that would insinuate that they wanted Oklahoma City in the finals, and I don't think that they would want a 73-19 losing in its conference final.
Jesse Gambino, let me tell you something. So about 6 months ago, someone, and I just came from working a dozen years in Chicago, and the Bulls weren't doing anything besides Derrick Rose. But I have to say this. The thing was, and one of the columnists just recently wrote this whole piece dissing Steph Curry, saying that, three shots are for babies. That's not the game. Anybody who can't play basketball can hit a three shot. And we went through all of that BS. And that was the mentality. It's like, you know what? It's a different time. It's a different dance. There's an art to this now. And Steph Curry is performing artistry.
Yeah, I'm not going to take anything away from Steph Curry. He's playing with the cards he's dealt for his size and his athleticism. He's a great ball player. I'm not going to go out of my way to say that he's, in a top 10 of all time list yet. Is he a top 10 in the league at this moment in time? Absolutely. Did he deserve the MVP of the year this year? Absolutely. He's excellent. There's no question about it. I'm not taking anything. He is Reggie Miller with different qualities, and there's nothing wrong with being Reggie Miller. And he's got Ray Allen in him, he's got Reggie Miller, he's got a lot of different qualities in him, and he just doesn't have height. You can't teach height. and he's working within the confines of being as short as he is. Unfortunately, his career is going to come up short, because of Isaiah Thomas, how little he is. He's going to take a beating, and he has, obviously, his ankles, his knees. He's probably going to go in for surgery, and it's going to take a toll on him.
Oh, there's no doubt he was beat up by the end of this this entire fiasco.
This was a huge, brutal. Yeah, listen, if they would have won last night, he would have had the greatest season of all time, and there would have been no questions about it. As nobody's ever going to knock the Warriors this season, but the wheels are going to come off eventually. Okay. You know what I mean? It was just going to happen that way. He's not Michael Jordan. So the wheels were going to come off, and it just unfortunately happened at the wrong time.
All right, Jesse Gambino, I got to wrap things up because I got to move along, but thank you very much, and I appreciate the call, and have a good rest of the week.
Yes, thank you guys for having me.
You bet, anytime. Okay, we're going to take a break. Thank you, David Feldhaus. I appreciate it, and congratulations to your whatever the name of that team is. Okay.
Cleveland Cavaliers waited 52
what
years.
What was that guy saying? And he's like, oh, you guys don't like the Warriors. What? All right, I've got to take a break. We'll be back with Candace DeLong on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. Lots going on today. Marty Nemko, our career coach, coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, a former FBI profiler, and she has her own show on Investigation Discovery, Candace DeLong. Thank you very much for joining me, Candace. It's
sure, Drex.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's been a very interesting day with the release of the transcripts of the 911 call and calls from the Pulse nightclub from the shooter. And they were put out and they were heavily redacted, and then they changed their mind. If you're Loretta Lynch, what are you thinking? I mean, it's humiliating.
Are you talking about redacting when he pledged allegiance to ISIS?
Right, exactly. We all know what it was anyway. So why did they remove those words and then change their minds?
I don't know why they changed their mind, but I could understand why they didn't, even though the public knew, if they were paying attention.
Right.
Then I still understand why they wouldn't want to confirm it in writing. Their reasoning was had to do with not wanting it to become a recruiting tool for ISIS. So even though the whole world knew it, if they're paying attention, the FBI didn't want to release a document that had their fingerprints on it that could eventually be used in the Middle East for recruiting and America for recruiting ISIS. Why they redacted their redaction, I can't tell you.
Yeah, no, it just seems embarrassing for the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, I thought. I mean, it's just... Don't you agree? It's kind of humiliating. It's like, oh, here it isn't, but here it is. I don't know.
I would like to make a distinction that it was the Department of Justice that did that.
Oh, DOJ. Thank you. I agree. So it's been a horrible week and a half, and Donald Trump stepped back Monday morning from his controversial comments suggesting that the massacre in Orlando at the gay nightclub might not have been as bad if patrons had been armed. And, I have to say, Candace, ever since he started saying these stupid things, I said to myself, anybody that knows anything about concealed carry or open carry knows that you're not allowed to take fire weapons, guns, into any place where there's alcohol.
That's true. And let's pick it apart. Number one, it's a fact. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. There was a confrontation with an armed off-duty police officer outside the club with the shooter, with the killer, before he got in. Now, we're talking about a police officer who's trained in firearms, who's trained in those kind of tactics, and he was unable to kill him right there. And then the shooter got into the club. Now, let's... Part two of Mr. Trump's statement: If patrons, plural with an S, things would have been had concealed carry, things would have been different. Yeah, you'd probably have a lot of people pretty upset right now that they accidentally killed a non-bad guy.
Right.
And you might have here's the thing. You've heard the term circular firing squad. Imagine what that nightclub was like. 300 people in there. It's dark with lights on above for dancing. People are drinking. When a shot goes off, when a gun goes off, unless you're standing next to the shooter and you see it, there's a good chance you won't know where that shot came from because of echoing. And the echo from the sound waves from the gunshot are going to be bouncing off the wall. And I know this because I've shot indoors and I've shot outdoors. That's just a fact. It's difficult to know where it's coming from. So imagine you've got in a sea of 300 people, 20, let's say 10% have a gun on them. The good people, not bad guys, have a gun on them. They hear a shot. They take out their gun, right? Now they're looking for the shooter. Other people that don't know what the heck's going on and may not know the person next to them is a good guy with a gun instead of a bad guy. Oh, my gosh, this must be that must be where the gunshot came from. And then maybe if somebody with a gun sees somebody else with a gun, they shoot him. It's crazy. Donald Trump does not know what he's talking about, which is why today, after he made the statement, he walked it back. And he said, what did he say? Well, what I meant was only armed guards. Well, there was an armed guard, an off-duty policeman, outside the club. And that didn't work, did it?
And by the way, for those of you who don't follow politics every 10 minutes like we do, he fired his campaign manager today. So, you know, he's down 10, I think, over 10 points in a week.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, we've heard this before, and not from Donald Trump. After the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in December of 2012, is the first time I heard, if teachers were armed, this wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's the same.
Same talking points, different day. And then today it was shot down in Congress, even though, you know, a very brave filibuster was put up at the end of the weekend. It went down in flames today, too, because we're not going to remove assault weapons. It's simple as that. You know, it's like, here's what really bothers me, Candace. No, the AR-15 has not been involved in all of these things. It has not been involved in the Boston Marathon. That was a pressure cooker, okay? And I get that. Yep. And an AR-15 was not involved in Orlando. I get that. So, and then there are Islamic, extremists and terrorists. I get that, too. Why can't we have both things on the table and look at both? Why does it have to be one or the other?
Because that's just the way it be. Well, that's a good question with a complex answer.
it doesn't seem too complex to me.
It seems that it always is a black and white situation, an either or. It doesn't have to be. You're absolutely right. It doesn't have to be. We can discuss. And most Americans are smart enough to be able to discuss two things at a time.
Right, a left arm and a right arm. We can put them together and figure it out.
Yeah, we can.
Left brain, right brain.
But we don't.
But we don't. No, because we're all so hell-bent on being divisive.
It might surprise you to know that after Columbine, and that was in April of, 99. I'm sorry. Oklahoma City bombing in 94, April of 94, there was a bill in Congress, I believe, to require that tracer elements be put in certain components, bomb-making components, things that could make a fertilizer bomb. That way, at least after the fact, after a bomb went off, tracers would be able to help investigators find out where the chemicals were purchased to make the bomb, and logically that would lead to the person that purchased those.
Indeed.
The NRA, which has nothing to do with guns and bullets, came out against it.
Of course. The only sensible thing to come out of you know, Wayne LaPierre's mouth was on CBS's Face the Nation. And he says, "I don't think you should have firearms where people are drinking." That's as far as it went. I mean, but that's the most sense I've ever heard him make with anything. So, you know.
Well, he had to say that, and for him to say that. But the NRA objects to any restrictions on anything that goes boom, even things the NRA has no association with whatsoever, which is chemicals that can be used as bomb components.
Yeah, it's really,
and yet,
it's awful.
You know, but we see the stranglehold they have on Congress.
All right, I got to take a break, and we come back. And by the way, I want to say to the listening audience, this is kind of breaking news. Protester grabbed policeman's firearm at Las Vegas rally and said he wanted to kill Donald Trump just a day after learning how to shoot at a gun range. This news breaking this afternoon. We'll talk about that and more with Candace DeLong coming up here. And how the FBI negotiations really work. Because this is a major question that I have in my mind. Why it took 3.5 hours before they went in and stop this moron. 808-0810 is the number.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
On KGO 810.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. From Investigation Discovery, Candace DeLong, former FBI profiler, is talking with me. And we are speaking about, of course, the insanity that went down a little more than a week ago in Orlando. And every day, something else comes out. And now, I want to ask you this, because I've been wondering this since it happened. Why on God's green earth did it take 3.5 hours for them to storm that building?
That is the first thing I asked. I heard about it Sunday afternoon after it happened. I hadn't been listening to radio or logged in, and that was my first question. And then the next day, I actually heard on a radio talk show, somebody inside the club recorded what was going on and released it to the public, and it was gunfire. And it was at a point where it was automatic gunfire. He had converted whatever weapon he had that was semi-automatic to automatic. And that's where you can get a burst of bullets, sometimes 8 or 9 bullets in 1 second. We've all seen it in the movies. It's bad, bad stuff. It's meant for the battlefield. It's not meant for nightclubs. And then I thought, well, certainly that must be when the police stormed in. There was a hostage negotiation. What was happening, I figured, was, okay, there's an initial event. Wasn't sure what it was. It didn't come out right away. The initial event was he tried to get in, the shooter, tried to get in, and he was stopped by a off-duty cop who was employed as a second job security guard, had qualms about the shooter getting in. They exchanged gunfire. Now, we don't know any more than that, other than the shooter got in the club. I don't know if the cop was killed. We haven't heard that. I just don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
and I find it interesting because I was combing all these articles today and I still couldn't find out. So then he gets in the club and he shoots. There is some shooting. The police are made aware, and then they become aware that at that point that there's just shooting. They call it an active shooter situation, and their response is one type of protocol. Then they found out that he was holding hostages. That's a different protocol. Once hostages are being held rather than actively killed, the purpose is to save as many hostages as possible always. So, and the negotiation implies they were interacting with the shooter. Turns out that was the case. Why it took 3 hours before they finally said, we're going to storm the Bastille, essentially, and they rammed one of their SWAT trucks into a wall.
Right.
SWAT guys went in and just started shooting and killed the shooter, may have also killed or shot some of the patrons. The Orlando police is admitting that now. I read every article I could read from many different news sources and many different opinions of police tactical experts. And the one thing that jumped out at me, Drex, you may have heard me say this in the past, the most important thing to me when I'm interviewing someone, it isn't what they're saying, it's what they're not saying that I think they should be saying. And I read all these articles, and what I wasn't seeing that I would have expected to see was not in any of them, which is, when was the barrage of fire of the automatic weapon that was released? At what point, how many rounds had been fired that you're aware of, and they had that cop on the scene, the off-duty cop, how many rounds were fired before you got there, and what's with the three-hour gap? And by the way, I'm not the only one asking. I'm sure even at the FBI Academy, which is where hostage negotiations are taught and analyzed, they go over all these, anything like this is analyzed to see what went wrong, did anything go wrong, what can be done better. And Orlando is very much under the microscope right now, and will be for quite a while.
And I have to tell you, it was heartbreaking to see on the news over the weekend. I was watching CNN, and one of the survivors, she was in total tears, saying this entire thing. Why did it take you guys more than 3 hours to come in and get us?
Yeah, well, the answer is, it changed from an active, if it was only an active shooter situation, they would have gone in. Because an active shooter, you just, like Columbine, there's no negotiation.
Right.
You got to get in.
Just
you got to kill.
Take them
you
out.
Gotta, you have to eliminate the threat, they call it, neutralize the threat. But then it changed to a hostage negotiation. This guy had 100 people in there or more. There were 300 when it all started. 100 were shot. Half of them died. That leaves 200 other people. Some of them did escape. And by the way, I want to talk about what to do if you're in a situation like this. But yeah, there's some very I wouldn't want to be in the chief of police shoes right now.
Okay, so I've got 2 minutes. So what do you do if you're in a situation like this?
Anything like this, school shooting, workplace shooting, anything like this, the first thing to do is look for an exit, being Captain Obvious here. If you can get out, get out. Leave your belongings if you have to, just get out, even if it's through a window. And you can jump from a second-story window and survive. You might have broken ankles, but it's better than being dead. Second thing, if you can't get out, start throwing things at the shooter, anything. Can you imagine how many glasses and bottles of whiskey and all kinds of things were available to throw, but I know people are panicked. They don't know. And then the third thing is talk to people around you and say, you know, basically, let's get him. Everybody's going to be in shock, but if you're not the one in shock, you organize and you just rush the guy. It has happened before. Somebody might get shot, but 100 people aren't going to get shot. Because if 20 people or 10 rush one shooter, the shooter's going down. And then you've got the gun, don't you?
Very good. Candace DeLong from Investigation Discovery and former FBI profiler. I appreciate your time so much. It's still so heartbreaking. A week has passed, and I think a lot of us are still numb, especially with Pride Week right around the corner. I thank you very much, Candace. Have a good rest of the week. Thank you. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back with our career coach, Marty Nemko, on KGOA 10.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.